like to begin. Today we're going to be, again, staying in our new theme. We're going to be moving into our survivor theme, dealing with a common affliction that many of us suffer with. And that is the affliction of worry. Things that are beyond our control that tend to get a hold of us, take control of us, maybe capture our mind, that strangle our heart and begin to do something to us that diminishes the sense of joy, diminishes the sense of peace, that diminishes the sense of what it means for us to have this gift of life and to celebrate this gift of life. As we talked about, we're doing the survivor theme. And so for those of you who are survivor fans, they're going to do some things today that are going to have some familiarity. As you saw, last week we talked about how the tribe has spoken, and we're going to be moving and using that idea kind of as a way of moving us to our voting something off the island this week. Not a person, not the person sitting next to you or across the aisle from you, but we're going to talk about what it means for us to begin to overcome and become victors in this battle with worry. And we're going to make a decision today to give it away, to send it away, to call it no longer powerful in the midst of our life. We'll have a torch. It'll be lit, but not yet. I'm going to hold on to that because, you know, it's just, you know, it's dangerous. Yeah, it's a fire. Yeah, it's a fire. It's a live flame. But at the conclusion, we will have someone come, and that's not as cool as that one, but we'll have someone coming to snuff it out today. So I want you just to know that part of this celebration of our overcoming worry might be yours. If worry is a challenge for you, that maybe you'll have the opportunity to come and physically put that flame out today. So that's coming as we move forward. But let me say a couple things just about worry before we go. I want y'all to notice this. I worked really hard. Actually, my wife did. Surfing the internet to find a shirt that looked like this dude's shirt. Okay? Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yeah, it's not green. Yeah, different color. I know. Other than the wrong color. Yeah, it's got buttons. Yeah. Yeah, good job, Lori. Yeah, thank you, dear. You did great. If I could just get my hair to go brown again. Yeah, I could be a stunt double. I would. Yes, I'd be happy to. But survivor, we're in the midst of this theme. And again, sometimes when we think about worry, you know, we think of some sort of a kind of a little personality quirk or maybe a little flaw in our character. And certainly some people are more prone to worry than others are. And this is not going to be a value judgment saying that somehow you're less than or worse if worry is a bigger challenge for you. It's just kind of how we're wired. Human beings are different, and some of us are more susceptible to this one than others. Everyone struggles with it, but some struggle with it far more in a far more difficult way. So this message is going to kind of talk about what it means for all of us as humans as we are called to move beyond this thing called worry. There is something that is really kind of key for us. Oh, let me just jump into it. Let's just move. Yeah, Jesus said that we are not to worry. He invites us not to worry. In Matthew 6, verse 25, he says, "Therefore I tell you," check it out. This is Jesus talking to you, okay? Maybe this is what all you needed to hear today. Jesus says to you, do not worry about your life. You know, that's what we do though, isn't it? We spend a lot of our time and a lot of our energy, a lot of our emotion goes to this thing called worry. It's not a new thing. It's not a 21st century thing. I mean, certainly it's present here in the 21st century, but clearly if Jesus were saying that 2,000 years ago, it was a thing then too. That there is a challenge for us dealing with these things that are beyond our ability to control. And I'll mention this later, but I'll bring it now, that worry is one of those things that we do because we are out of control. It is a response. It is a natural human response to the reality that we don't have control. And so it's going to be kind of like it's not a defense mechanism, but it's just a natural response. And the fact is we are not in control. And so what do we do with that not being in control? One of the options we can choose is worry, because that's a natural path that we have when we feel that sense of insecurity because we're not in control. But Jesus is going to talk about something more, and we'll look at another Bible passage, primarily out of Psalm 23 today, that's going to take us down a different path, a new path. And maybe if worry is your normal path, worry is your normal response, then we're going to offer you a new path. This is the path that God opens for us that says this is a new way, a better way of dealing with the uncertainty and the fact that we are out of control. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, Jesus said, what you will eat or what you will drink or about your body. Okay, I'm not going to worry about my body. That's way past worry time, okay? Years ago, I stopped that. No, but reality is, we worry about things that affect us, don't we? We worry about things that affect our life. We worry about the things that are going to affect, if you know, not about your life, more about it. You know, this is just a struggle. Because life, as Jesus goes on to say, life is more than food, more than the body is more than your clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor store away in barns, yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? That's a rhetorical question. And a beautiful thing about the way the Bible is written, in Greek, not in English. And in Greek, they have a way of saying it. It's a question, but it is implying an affirmative answer. It's not really a question someone has to wrestle with. Huh, I'm not sure. Am I not more valuable than they? No, the way the question is posed says the answer is going to be clearly yes. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Okay, that one doesn't have that sense. There's not an obvious yes answer to this one. Can you? Can anyone here by worrying add a single hour to your life? No. The answer obviously is no. So we're going to just let it be. So what is it that Jesus is after here for us? He says we are not to worry. And what is worry? You know, worry is an anxiety, isn't it? It's an unease. A definition would say something like this. It allowing one's mind to dwell on a difficulty or trouble, either actual or potential. Anytime that we allow our mind to dwell on a difficulty, either actual or potential, we are being taken captive by this thing called worry. Now, it's different from concern. A concern can be, there's a real thing that I'm concerned about, and that concern can lead me to focus on that issue and maybe come up with a plan, and that plan would then lead me to action to overcome this. But worry doesn't lead us to a plan. All worry does is cause us to sit in this place of worry and stew. It's all stewing and no doing. Thank you, Mary. I'm glad someone found that interesting. Okay. It's all stewing and no doing. That's how we can differentiate from a healthy concern about something that's going to drive us, because if we didn't have concerns, we wouldn't do anything. We would sit on the couch all day and do nothing. But we have concerns, and we have needs that we need to take care of, but we don't need to move into stewing without doing. I remember when I lived in Kentucky a long time ago, one of the phrases that I heard there, and I know it's everywhere, but in Kentucky I heard it, and it goes like this. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but don't get you nowhere. Now, I know that's a double negative, and all my teachers are saying that's not proper English. It's proper Kentucky, okay? That's how they say it there. It gives you something to do, but it don't get you nowhere. Because that's just the reality. And that's part of that sense of it feels like a natural thing. When we're stewing on it, not doing something about it, it is the concern that turns into worry that gives us something to do. It's a response, but it doesn't do us any good. I like this quote. Corrie ten Boom said this, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength." Worrying about something that might could happen tomorrow isn't going to change what might could happen. It's not going to do anything about tomorrow. It's not going to help you get through that bad time that might could happen tomorrow. It's only going to lead you to be wore out today, because all of your time, energy, and focus has been on this thing that you cannot control. A concern is going to lead us to action, stewing and not doing and just simply ruminating on the problem is going to lead us to worry. Worry has never solved a problem. Worry cannot change the past. Worry cannot control the future. Worry does not make us happier today. It simply makes us more miserable. And again, so the quote from Corrie ten Boom. So the Bible calls us to do something different with it. And that's part of what Jesus was saying, but it's not just Jesus. It's all over. I love what it says in Psalm 94. It says, when my anxious thoughts multiply within me. Anyone here ever feel like your anxious thoughts are multiplying within you? Okay, let's just do this. Okay, this is going to show of hands. Anyone here say, my anxious thoughts sometimes multiply within me? All right. Hey, this is good. This is good. We're all sufferers of the same affliction called worry. But again, see what the Bible says. This is David writing. He says, when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolations delight my soul. Now, why does, when you're in the midst of worry, do you not delight in God's consolations? Because when you're in the midst of worry, that's all you can see. And so we can see that the Bible is calling us to say there's got to be a change of direction. There's got to be a change of attitude. There's got to be a change of posture here when it comes to things when they begin to attack our spirit. So this is going to be the question of how do we do it? And I want to move to Psalm 23 for this. But before I do, I have some results of our poll question of the day. For those who are online, the clear favorite was otter. An otter. A sea otter who gets to play in the ocean all day long. And I can get that. That sounds pretty good. There were a number of other ones that came through, and I didn't quite get the poll exactly, but there were a number. There were birds of various kinds, their ability to fly. Primarily, the main bird was the eagle. So if you're out there and you're saying, I want to be an eagle, you're in the majority. There are big cats that are seen to be very popular. I don't know why it is, big cats. I mean, there was one who said little cats, but yes, like a lion. Or even more popular was the cheetah. Very interesting. And then all kinds of other animals. Bear was very popular. I'm surprised by that, but the bear. That's exactly it. The person said that I can eat a whole lot and take a long nap. I'm thinking, hey, well, I get it. I get it. And I saw a few other people had other things similar to that. One of our kids said that their animal would be a unicorn. Of course, why not? But this was my favorite one, I have to admit. It was the kangaroo, because they have a pouch. And I thought, wait a minute, you already carry a purse, you don't need a pouch. Interesting things that we would aspire to or desire for. Either a nap, power, the ability to do something we cannot do. No one in either online or here today said, I want to be a sheep. Now, I want to pose a question to you about that. No one said sheep, and I got a hunch that I could ask a far larger group, and they would still, no one would say a sheep. And I think part of the reason is because no one wants to be what a sheep is. Sheep are defenseless. Sheep are dependent. And sheep are easily disoriented. Who wants to be that? And yet as we turn to Psalm 23, and David walks us through, and he says, this is going to be part of our solution. He starts with a verse which says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. When David says, the Lord is my shepherd, what he is implying is that he and we our sheep. Now, it may not be what we wanted to hear, but before God, I am dependent Before God, I am defenseless. Before God, I am helpless. Without God, I am nervous and scared, and rightly so. But with God, I have all that I need. I think that this truth captured in this very familiar passage is a truth that we need to ruminate on rather than ruminating on the things that might could happen. And this begins to be part of what it means for us to unlock that secret of taking and shifting when worries come, reminding ourselves of this reality. Notice God doesn't promise to give us all that we want. And this is important, folks, right? We all want all that we want, but it doesn't say that. If we got everything we wanted, what would happen? Yeah, we would become ungrateful. We would become spoiled brats. Have you ever seen a child whose parents gave him too much or her? It's not pretty. We want that, don't we? We all want to get everything we want, but this verse reminds us that we have a good, good Father, and what he does is gives us all that we have need of. Not all that we might have want of, but all that we have need of. Because when it comes to this, we can do one of two things. When we recognize this fact that we're out of control, there is an inverse relationship between worry, which is again a natural response to being out of control, and trust, which is also a response to being out of control. We can choose one or the other. There's an inverse relationship. As our trust increases, our worry decreases. But as our worry increases, then we find that our trust decreases. The two are tied together in this inverse relationship, and there's no getting around it. So when we say the Lord is my shepherd, we say the Lord is my shepherd, we're recognizing that it is he who is in control, not me who is in control. Certainly, he will provide for you. He will protect you. He will guide you. He will correct you. All those things that a shepherd does. And if we can rest in that, it begins to change this relationship. Beth Moore said it and said it so well. She said either, because she caught this same idea, this idea of this inverse relationship, either worry yourself sick or trust your God well. It's one of the two. These are the paths that we have. That's what's going. It's going to come down to. I saw that. I loved that. I said that has to be part of this message, that we have a choice to make. And that's what it does. It comes down to a decision for us. We all are out of control, and there's a sense of worry that comes and begins to take root and begins to burn in our lives. That's just part of the deal. It happens to all of us. But rather than stewing and not doing, if we can begin to move and break the cycle into a place of trust where we say, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. It's different. I still may be facing loss of a job. I still may be facing an uncertain diagnosis. I may still be facing a fear or an uncertainty about what is coming down the line. I can stew about it, or I can say, it's God's, and whatever comes will be okay because he is my shepherd. There's something really profound about that decision that says, rather than letting worry captivate me, I will surrender it to the reality that God is my shepherd. No longer a slave to worry because of that reality.